2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Hey, now is the best time to get signed up with us yet. If you haven't done so, use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, to check us out for 7 free days. With that, you get access to everything that we got going on. MLB VIP lineups page, Bernsey's Analytics Corner, and everything else that we got going on inside the MLB walls. Also get access to the Domination Station, which has been doing it for the people every day for a while now. But with the Domination Station, get to use that for all your PGA and NASCAR events as well. Check us out for 7 free days. That's promo code WIN, W-I-N. And if you have tried us out so far and you want to check us out, get a little bit of a discount each month, use the promo code PODCAST. That gets you 20% off each month of your subscription. Once again, promo code PODCAST for 20% off each month of your subscription. I am your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find my co-host, Keith Hall, at Boomers DFS Daddy. Big game tonight, or I'm sorry, big slate tonight in the majors, highlighted by that 12.5 run total at the home of Keith's boys tonight.
Yeah, it's that one's going to be interesting. Debut of Jonathan Lucroy. Hopefully he can help out some of these young rookie catchers or pitchers. So that's actually more what I'm interested to see rather than, you know, anything else. Anything that he adds as far as offensive, you know, is going to be, you know, a positive. We did not trade for him. I know he's a rental, but we didn't trade for him for his offensive prowess. We traded for him because he's got experience in the postseason and experience handling a pitching staff. So, which is something that Tony Walters was really, really good at the beginning of the year. But I think the wear and tear of the season and being a full-time, you know, starting catcher, already catching, you know, about as many games this year as he did last year, already on pace for a career high in games is kind of hurt him. So,
well,
I'm not really worried about that right now. I'm more worried about what in the heck happened to the Houston Astros last night.
Oh, man, they loved them some home. Loved them some home cooking yesterday.
Yeah, they must have listened to us just trash them.
I want to know, but more importantly, what happened to the DK optimizer? So if you're playing on DraftKings last night, you probably saw a big herd of Army helmets at the top of your leaderboards yesterday. So I don't know, like, what anything specifically that might have changed that probably led to that?
I went back to the DFS or the projections instead of the DFSA grades. No, it was a good night for the optimal lineup. Hopefully it continues. And it was a good night on both sites, actually, for the optimal lineups. 175 on FanDuel, which, you know, would have got me a cool 303 bills on FanDuel in my tournament. Unfortunately, I finished with about 100 points less. Because the Kansas City Royals decided not to show up.
And the implied run total decrease, which we've been looking at a lot recently, kind of predicted that. Same as with the Indians last night.
All of that conversation.
Well, yeah. Well, you need to just look at it on your own, man. I mean, honestly, that's like all I've been looking at.
I can't do 50 million things at once. Everybody wants the projections, the lineups, Vegas, this and that.
Well, you need to get extra arms and become an octopus or something.
Well, how about somebody just come down here and become my secretary?
Well, go to Oklahoma? No, definitely not. There is no need for that.
Why not? It's fun.
I mean, it's Oklahoma, bro. Come on. Come on, man. Let's get real. So, yeah, that all worked out pretty well. But, yeah, I mean, you know, again, implied run total is something that we're going to be talking about again today because we got one team in particular that has really shot up to the top in terms of movement in that regard. But, so, you know, again, something that I think is going to be our guiding light here for the rest of the season. So I'm excited to get into it. Keith, I know you are as well. Let's just get into it. Let's talk about some stacks, first of all, today. And that said team that I was just talking about with the biggest increase of implied run total so far is the Seattle Mariners, who have actually jumped a full run. And I don't think it was Hugh Darvish's day to start today, right? Prior to the trade?
It wouldn't have mattered because the line came out after the trade happened.
All right, fair enough. I'm just checking to see why it was such a huge increase. But I guess that could be because Nick Martinez is on the mound for the Texas Rangers today. But if you take a look on FanDuel, you're going to have a lot of these Mariners priced quite generously. So I'm sure, you know, we're going to see a chalky, lots of chalky Mariners out there today. But again, with that implied run total jumping from 4.4 to 5.4, I mean, that's just significant. And, you know, over these last couple of days, we've been like, oh, well, this team, last night the Yankees at 0.4 were the biggest jump in implied run total, and they went off for, I believe it was 8 runs or 7 runs, one of the two. And, you know, again, that's just something that worked out well for us, so got to go back to the well.
Yeah, when you have a team that goes over half a run, you know, that's something that, you know, really – you have to take into consideration. Not a lot of times does it happen, but it does happen, I would say, about 2 or 3 times a week. And we have been actually, you know, finding some lower owned teams with these reverse line movements, especially the reverse line movements, not just the line movements, but the reverse line movements have been really telegraphing what it's going or what's gonna happen lately. And I hope it kind of continues. So
indeed. So yeah, I do like those Mariners tonight, of course, the game in Coors Field.
Let's talk about, hold on one sec, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Let's talk about this Seattle Texas line movement here real quick, because it's interesting to know that it's not that the line is shifting. It's a different. There's a difference. The whole total has gone up. The total has gone up over a run, and Seattle has gone up along with Texas. Like both teams, and that's not something that happens a lot. Normally, when a total goes up, or when a team's implied total goes up, the other team's implied total goes down a little bit. You know, because normally it's the sharp money is on one side or the other. This looks like the sharp money's on the game total, and it looks like it was because it was low to start out. So that's what this is telling me, because when both teams now, granted, Texas didn't go up as much as Seattle, but when both teams, we're talking heavy money on Seattle and heavy money on the over or the. Yeah, the over.
Yeah. So line began with the over at 10.5, has jumped to 11, and then the opening line. This is even more interesting. I'm glad you pointed it out. But Texas opened up at -179. You know, and the open at these things starts the night before. But currently, the Texas Rangers are at -106. So that's, you know, about a 73 notch difference right there. So that is certainly, you know, something to take into play as well. So again, that just further illuminates the point that Seattle is a pretty damn good way to go tonight.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting game stack completely. Yeah. I mean, Erasmo Ramirez is not known for being Randy Johnson from the right side of the plate or the right side of the mound. So
breaking news.
You know, you can definitely take Texas bats, who seemed to show some life last night, it looked like.
Well, Felix was on the mound, so, you know.
Yeah, but Felix has been been pitching pretty well, and he's had some pretty good numbers against some of those Texas bats.
I don't want
to
hear.
So did you happen to see when Beltre came up in the first inning? Felix,
I
started
did.
Walking.
He hugged him.
Yeah. Did you see the video? The umpire, the home plate umpire, snatch off his mask like real quick, like what's going on here? Like he was about to go have to break something up. Like, dude, come on, man. Come on.
That's funny. So, that is very funny.
But that's a class act by Felix. I've always liked the King, even though he's more like the popper now. But you know, it's one of those things that that you can definitely take into consideration. A game stack is not out of the question. The only problem is if you're building like one lineup, putting all of your eggs into that one basket, and that one basket not being Coors Field. I understand the imply or the total is 11, which is the second highest of the day. But you know, we've seen a lot of lower scoring games throughout the course of the season in both Texas and Colorado today.
Sure. Yeah, I just don't think we're going to see that today. You know, from either park, I think we're going to see more than enough runs. So, yeah, let's talk about the Mets-Rockies game today out in Denver. Against Steven Matz going for the Mets. The Rockies put up a staggering, I believe, 9 earned runs against him on 37 pitches when these two teams got together not too long ago. Let's repeat that. Seven earned runs on 39 pitches is what the Rockies did to him. And, you know, we've seen this plenty of times. The Rockies have tremendous success against left-handed pitching. I know you got a stat on that. We can bring that up in a second. But, again, Jeff Hoffman been a lot worse at home this season than he's been on the road. The Mets implied run total has gone up, I believe, 0.3 here from 5.7 to 6. All that's working out pretty well. Again, 12.5, you know, I know that's kind of like par for the course at Coors Field. But again, I think it just illuminates something that, you know, you really can't avoid tonight.
Yeah, against left-handed pitching, I'm pulling it up here. Over the last 30 days, the Rockies have a 434 wOBA, 254 ISO, and a 151.29 WRC+. And that WRC+ number, ladies and gentlemen, is park-adjusted. So the only team that has a better WRC+ against left-handed pitching over the last 30 days is the Detroit Tigers. Now, the difference is that they have added Jonathan Lucroy. Say what you want about what he's done offensively this year. It doesn't quite play as much as people would like to think because of the fact that, one, it is Coors Field. Two, he's not going to be asked to do anything offensively. We brought him in for his, like I said, his defensive, you know, capabilities. But two, I mean, it's, you still have Nolan. You've got Ramil Tapia back in the big leagues, who's actually been pretty good against left-handed pitching. You've got Gerardo Parra, who's absolutely had a fantastic month of July. I don't remember how he finished the nightcap of the doubleheader, but it looked like he was starting to struggle a little bit. But
who's this? I'm sorry, Parra?
Parra. At one point, he was – I know in the first game on Sunday, he was 0-for-5 with two GIDPs.
Oh, my.
So
– yeah, I mean, Noel – I forgot who had the – I think Parra had the RBI single in that game, you know, scoring the only run for the Rockies, but
– yeah, I think he did too.
He did.
But I don't know – you know, that was it. I don't think it was hit that hard. I think it was just kind of
seeing
like,
eye single from the right side. Yep.
You know, and it all counts the same in the scorebook. Don't worry. But you know, it's just still one of those things that you have to kind of take into consideration. Yep. I mean, it's extremely, extremely difficult right now to, sit there and look at, I mean, you've got Mark Reynolds, who actually has not been good versus left-handed pitching this season. But historically, over his career, he can hit left-handed pitching. I don't think Cargo is going to be in the lineup tonight, so don't have to worry about that. But then you got Trevor Story. You know, DJ's been hitting the ball a lot better since the All-Star break. I mean, these guys, this is not an easy lineup to go through. And when you add a guy like Jonathan Lucroy, who does have a history of actually being productive at the plate offensively, I mean, it wasn't too long ago where he was considered one of the best all around catchers in Major League Baseball. So,
yeah, I'm preparing to get my heart broken by Trevor Story because I like him way too much tonight. Not really a whole lot at the shortstop position, which we'll get to later.
Trevor Story off the list. But let's take this a step further. If you're expecting Steven Matz to get absolutely just shelled and shellacked like he did in Citi Field last week,
double down on it in Vegas.
Don't think that's going to happen. he is not as much of a gas can as people like to think sometimes. Now, with that said, here's the problem. He throws a curveball 23.2% of the time. He throws a changeup 14.5% of the time. He throws a sinker 33% of the time, and a slider only 4.26% of the time. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the sinker, the curveball, the changeup. Three of his best four pitches, his highest pitches that he throws, are three of the worst pitches to pitch or to throw in Coors Field.
Yahtzee.
The temperature is going to be a robust 84 degrees. It has cooled off just a wee bit. Here's the problem. Is the wind is blowing out to left, which means it is creating a jet stream, not only to right center, as it always is, but also to left field. If there's not a ball hit up on the concourse tonight, which is about, I would say, 435, 440, if you dead pull it, I would be utterly shocked.
Interesting.
The dew point is right around the 37 to 40% mark. It's about neutral. Dew point doesn't mean anything in Coors Field. It means something everywhere else, though.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, again, I like everything.
I just
everything.
Looked at the weather today.
With Steven Matz, I will say, though, I like him a lot as a pitcher. Just whatever the case is, it's not working out for him right now.
Do you
but
think he's healthy?
Here's some numbers to maybe give us an answer. But in each of his last three starts, he's allowed 9 hits. And over his last 9 innings, he's allowed 16 runs. Not good.
That's usually not really that good.
Now, granted, one of those starts was that day in Citi Field where the Rockies just absolutely pounded him. But again, I mean, even at San Diego, his last start out. I mean, I've been gushing and gawking over the Padres, you know, since the All-Star break, but they were the team to get to him last, and they just absolutely pounded him into the ground.
Yeah, it was.
By the way, have you seen the Padres' strikeout rate over the last 14 days?
No.
20th in the majors. Nuts. My, how the times have changed.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to do with Manuel Margot actually being healthy and coming back into. Corey Spangenberg's put a lot of bats on the ball. And Will Myers has cut down on his strikeout percentage as well. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you know, they got a ton of new players in their lineup. So definitely cool. All right, let's look at some other stacks here that I think are going to be pretty interesting. I'm going to throw one out there, which disappointed the people heavily last night, but the Kansas City Royals. Going up against Dylan Bundy today, and I've done some reading, and obviously you can look at Bundy's numbers over the last 2 months. They've just been absolutely terrible, but I've done some reading, and a lot of the people around the Orioles think that, you know, he's just simply fatigued. You know, he really hasn't pitched it to this volume that much in his career yet. So right now it's just an issue of fatigue with him, and you can see the numbers. You know, they're not good. He's getting teed off on. And again, how many times have we seen it? It wouldn't be MLB DFS if I didn't mention it, but a team that disappoints us greatly one night, comes back the next night. So I think that this is a good spot to get some lower ownership on one of the best offenses in baseball.
Yeah, I don't we've kind of said it lately. You know, there's so many different providers out there now that I don't really care about ownership on 15-game slates. I don't have to worry about it quite as much because I don't have to try as hard as I used to in MLB to kind of differentiate, just because of the way my mind works and the way your mind works as well. Yeah. You know, there's not a guy.
We don't want to go down that road.
There's not a guy like Aaron Judge or a Gary Sanchez from last year that's just absolutely crushing the ball right now that is going to garner 35% ownership. At least there shouldn't be. Unless for some reason or another, like a $2,000 player, you know, top prospect shows up at the top of the lineup in Coors Field or Texas, I don't think we have to worry about, you know, high ownership. Here's the issue with the Kansas City Bats versus Dylan Bundy. I don't think they've had a lot of good success against him. Now, they've only faced him once, I believe.
It was earlier this season and Bundy had a good start, but you got to take into consideration how terrible Kansas City was at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And also how good Bundy was too. Now the roles are reversed.
Yeah, there's not a lot of history here, so you can't even take that into consideration. Most of them only have one at bat. The only one that has more than one is Melky Cabrera, and he's got four. He's 0 for 4. So I'm not really worried about, you know, a BVP scenario type thing in this matchup. The talent is there for Dylan Bundy, but the results have not been there as much as I would like to see it. And I say I because, you know, he's a hometown boy. I want to see him do well, but I have no problems going and picking on him right now because – like you said, the chatter around Baltimore is that he's kind of fatigued a little bit. So, that's just another reason the Baltimore bullpen is absolutely just god awful. And, I don't think that they're going to allow him to go deep into the game. In fact, if we look at his innings pitched, over the last, you know, handful of starts or so, he's only gone into the sixth twice in the last 7 starts. So, you know, he's shown some abilities, but he did go 6 innings against these Kansas City Royals, had 8 Ks, and this was May 12th. So this was around when Kansas City was starting to turn it around. They weren't quite as good then as they are now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't mind going back there. Now, I will say this, other than, you know, well, I can't say that. Never mind. I mean, Bundy's 3 out of his last 4 starts have not been good. So his one good start was against Texas in Texas, though. So I guess you got that going for him.
Yep. What kind of stacks are you looking at tonight?
Like you said, I like the Royals. I really, really, really think these Pirates lefties could work against Homer Bailey. Josh Bell, Adam Frazier. I would throw Kutch in there probably. I expect Jose Azuna to be in there somewhere. Maybe they give Starling Marte a night off, or Andrew, I don't know.
Yeah, it's about righties against Bailey have been like absolutely crushing him this season. So
is he a reverse splits guy? I haven't dove into the splits yet. So.
Again, it's funny with Bailey, like he's getting either like totally blown up or he's pitching pretty good and limiting a lot of these offenses. But
have you noticed where he's getting blown up and where he's pitching well?
I believe, again, he's pitching well against the better teams, and
he's pitching well in hitters' ballparks.
Interesting.
And now, mind you, the only thing, I mean, you gotta look deeper into the numbers against the Yankees. If Homer Bailey comes out in the fifth, I believe he only allowed, like, I think it was 2 earned runs through 5 innings. And then he got tagged for 3 more in the 6th. He scattered 10 hits, but they got 5 earned runs. But in Colorado and Arizona, he allowed a combined 2 earned runs.
Interesting.
So, this is a good park, but it's kind of a trend here. It's going to be about 83 degrees, 47% humidity, no weather really to worry about. Depending on what the lineup to throw out as far as the Pittsburgh Pirates, you might want to just use them as like a double or a mini stack or one-offs sprinkled throughout your lineups. I'm finding it very, very hard. I mean, we have the ultimate scenario going today. If you want to fade Nolan Arenado, you have Nick Castellanos versus CeCe in Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
Batting second.
Well, yeah, I mean, that whole game, I think, is a fantastic spot to target. You know, again, we know how well Detroit has done against these lefties. And then on the other side of things, you know, Anibal Sanchez in Yankee Stadium probably isn't where he wants to be today. But, you know, you take a look at what they did last night. I mean, you know, quietly, you know, I understand, you know, Aaron Judge probably isn't hitting as well as we have seen in the first season, or I'm sorry, in the first half of the season, but, you know, Brett Gardner's bopping lately. He's got a 12-game hitting streak. You got Chase Headley, who's on fire right now. Although Judge is homered twice in the last 4 games, same thing with Gary Sanchez. You know, I think he got some interesting pieces here. I know Clint Frazier. I really like that whole Yankees outfield today. When we get to them later, I'll break it down some more with the numbers. But you know, whoever it's going to be, whether it's going to be Judge, Gardner, Frazier, or whether we're going to see Judge, Gardner, Ellsbury, whatever the case is, I really like all those guys today. So very interesting. And then of course, you know, all the Detroit bats against the lefty. Now, we do know it's CeCe. He's good at limiting the damage. But what, you know, what I am a little scared about, and we saw this the last time that CeCe started, it was against the Rays at home in his last start. But I don't even think he made it out of the 4th inning. But he went
as soon as he got into trouble, they went and, you know, yeah, they went and got him.
He went 84 pitches, and then we saw the bullpen come in. So that bullpen comes in against these Tigers bats. I'm not as interested in them, but again, that's something that we're not going to know ahead of time.
But here's something that you have to think about is which bullpen is coming in. Is it going to be the one on the neutral or plus side, or is it going to be the one on the negative side?
Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Chad Green came in last night for the Yankees, so I would.
Because
I would
if you're – well, Chad Green's one of their better middle relievers because he's the one that came in and piggybacked off of CeCe. But here's the thing is if you play Tigers and they get to CeCe, then you're getting then, you know, depending on what Anibal Sanchez does and the Yankees bats, you know, more than likely you're probably getting the negative part of that bullpen. Now, if this turns into a slugfest, you know, slugging the starters out of the game early, then, you know, I would give the advantage to the Yankee bats because, you know, we've seen the Yankees' ability to kind of match up with the positive and neutral part of that bullpen. I don't think that you have to worry about it. I would not technically stack the Tigers, because I want more than 3 good at bats and positive matchups. But I would play one-offs like a Castellanos, like a James McCann, you know, maybe a Miggy, since he is only 3.6K.
Bad road numbers this season for Miggy. Bad road numbers.
Yeah, but he's still got the power to put it over that short porch in right field.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be more interested in Justin Upton. James McCann finally gets a catcher spot all to himself now with Vila gone. So that's probably more my line of thinking. I will say, and again, if you're going to attack CeCe, I think Yankee Stadium is the place to do it. The road numbers have been much more kind to him than they have been at Yankee Stadium. But again, this is actually CeCe's 500th start tonight.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah, I don't know. Could be a good thing. Could be a bad thing. Any other sneaky stacks that we're not thinking about tonight?
The Phillies, possibly.
Oh boy, Ricky Nolasco. Nola against Nolasco.
Nola, I have a lot. I have a lot of interest in the middle part of that order for the Phillies. Galvis, Williams, Altair, Tommy Joseph. Even Odubel Pereira has been hitting the ball really well.
Bat flipping.
He had a 3-run home run yesterday. I have a lot of interest there.
I was going to say about those LA Dodgers, where they're going up against Mr. Sims making his MLB debut today. Guy Sims, I forget how many. I know it was, 115 innings, I believe he was in AAA, but he allowed 19 homers down there at AAA.
Yeah.
So going up against the Dodgers, watch out.
So let's go through the checklist here for SunTrust Park. Okay.
Okay.
Is the weather warm?
Yes.
It's going to be about 82 degrees. It's not that crazy. Okay. About 40% humidity for Atlanta in August. That's not bad. It actually has cooled down a lot over the last, 2 days across the country. So, mm-hmm. The heat factor, quote unquote, isn't going to be, come on. It's not even going to be 90 degrees in Texas today. I mean, seriously, this isn't August. This is May. Is there a righty on the mound?
Yes.
Is said righty facing a heavy left-handed power-hitting lineup?
Yes.
Is said left-handed power-hitting lineup having the ability to hit multiple dongs by multiple people at a very, very affordable price?
Oh, yes, of course.
And is said team hot?
Oh, very. Scorching.
Yeah.
Now,
there you go. Check.
Yeah, I found it interesting with Corey Seager that now over the weekend, I think he faced nothing but lefties from the San Francisco Giants, and his price actually went down going into a better ballpark. So I don't know how they're going to figure that one out.
Let's look at the X factor grade for SunTrust. SunTrust is 21st. Dodger Stadium is actually technically better.
Wow.
Overall.
Okay.
Now for runs and home runs, actually for home runs, Dodger Stadium is better this year.
Wow.
It's not like SunTrust is, hard. Mm-hmm. It plays more to lefties than it does to righties. Our numbers do not discriminate as far as lefty, righty, left field, right field, all that good stuff. It just goes by overall ballpark. Sorry, guys, I'm not that advanced yet. But yeah, if you're going to stack the Dodgers, don't forget about guys like Yasiel Puig. Yep. He actually hits right-handed pitchers a lot better this season.
Way better.
It is unbelievable. Kind of the reverse splits that he has going on right now.
Yep.
But if you look at Puig, not that one. If you look at Puig and his hot map or his heat map, the only pitches that he's struggling with right now are pitches that are up over the plate and on the outside corner over the plate. Everything else, especially if it's middle and down, he's absolutely crushing versus right-handed pitching.
Interesting. Yeah, so I don't know if you watched that Sunday night game between the Giants and the Dodgers, but I think we're going to start to see those numbers come down a bit for the Dodgers because, obviously you're going to get cooler temperatures out there. And you saw, there were balls that were just hammered against Bumgarner that were falling just shy of the track. So That's something to watch out for.
Is that the weather, or is that Bumgarner just barely missing the bats?
I don't know. I mean, some of these balls were like, they looked like they were going Mike Stanton zone outside of Chavez Ravine. But yeah, just a lot of them landing shy of the track. So again, it's not something that we need to break down to a fine granite now, but to a fine powder, not granite, that's stone. But just something to look out for when the games go back to Chavez Ravine. Let's see here. I like the Dodgers, as I mentioned. I wanted to mention Tampa Bay tonight. So, again, I watched these guys all weekend against the Yankees, and towards the end of that series, looks like they're going to strike out, no doubt about it. But they're also going to get some power going here today, too. So you got a couple guys with good numbers going up against Mike Fiers. Again, righties. Righties are actually, they've done pretty well against Fiers, so that's probably the way I would lean. But again, that line of thinking took me off Corey Dickerson last night, who I mentioned on the podcast was hitting the ball better recently. He decided to make me look good by not only hitting two dongs, Keith, but two oppo field homers last night, which Corey rarely does. So that's just an indication of where his swing is at recently. So good to see that from him. But yeah, I like a lot of these Rays tonight in a sneaky sort of way.
I like the top five.
Okay.
I mean, we know that Tim Beckham's not going to be in this lineup.
Wait, didn't he get traded to Baltimore?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
That's why he's not in the lineup.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why
he's not where the Rays are. So that's a good point for him to be in the lineup.
You know, if you look at the heat maps for the top five, now on FanDuel, you're only going to be able to play four of the five because both Logan Morrison and Lucas Duda are first base. But they're not good matchups for Mr. Fiers.
Good to hear. All right, that's all I got for today. Any other interesting? Maybe Baltimore, but like I like the KC side of things. Not saying that Baltimore can't hit as well, but could be interesting.
Yeah, it definitely could be.
All right. Let's head to the pitchers now before we break down the positions quickly. But I want to start with Chris Sale tonight because this was interesting. Just taking a look at the opening. Now this is the opening money line for the Red Sox. This isn't where it where it is currently. But at the open yesterday, he's at -146. Things have gone up slightly here to -163, but I mean, when we see Chris Sale at his best at home, nonetheless, at Fenway Park, he's typically in the mid 200, somewhere around like that -250 range. So to see him tonight at -146, not exactly the most confidence that I have, but you do have Carlos Carrasco on the other side of things, who I do like, 7-2, sub-3 ERA on the road this season and 11 starts. So I think we're going to see a nice pitching matchup here tonight, but I don't know if I need to pay all the way up for Sale since the win is certainly not guaranteed, but I do think he's going to have a good, he's probably have his typical quality start, 10 strikeout performance, but without the win being guaranteed, I don't know that Sale is necessarily, something that I need tonight.
Yeah, probably not. You can definitely take a look at it and, granted, he's
Chris Sale.
This is going to be interesting because the last two times both of these guys have faced off or pitched, they've obviously had the other one pitching at the same time. It's going to be interesting to go Chris Sale and Max Scherzer. Last time it was Max Scherzer that was the lower owned, and Chris Sale came out and dominated the Angels. And Max Scherzer allows to start the game back-to-back-to-back jacks.
That's three in a row if you're counting at home.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen tonight. However, I don't think I need either one of these guys tonight.
Ooh. Well, here's the thing. I love Scherzer tonight. It's just I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford him with what I'm trying to do with bats. But you take a look at that Miami offense. The last two games, they allowed Luis Castillo from the Reds, to have, I believe he put up 50 plus. I should know this. I had him on Sunday. And then you had Gio Gonzalez with the no hitter through eight innings last night. So this Marlins offense.
Yeah, there was more going on last night than what we realized. It was Jose Fernandez's birthday, and Gio Gonzalez and Jose Fernandez were really, really, really close. We used to have a narrative guy. He has since disappeared. That would have been nice to know last night.
Well, how about this? I mentioned on the podcast last night too, but going into last night, current members of the Marlins only had 11 extra base hits and over 200 plate appearances against Gio. That's something to do with that as well. It's actually a huge part of the story. Yeah.
Wow. I did not realize that. I guess I missed that part.
Yeah. When I say things, you should listen, man. It's good for your health. Now, you listened today when I said Colin Cowherd is going to be talking about Russell Westbrook on the Herd. You listen to that, but yeah.
I just listened it to for him to get slammed by his very, very attractive co-host, which happened, and I was very happy, so.
Indeed. All right. So yeah, those are probably going to be your top pitching options of the night. Now, one that I'm pretty interested in, Marcus Stroman going for the Blue Jays. They need a stopgap right here. And, Stroman in his last outing, I believe that was against the A's, that was when him and Russell Martin got tossed. We've seen this a couple times. Guys get ejected. They come back pretty damn fired up the next time. I'm more interested in the fact of who the White Sox are throwing out there in their lineup. Looks like a damn AAA team nowadays, but
Moncada won't be in the lineup either because he was carted off the field yesterday.
Which is actually something that I want, given how many times he's been striking out recently.
No kidding.
But the White Sox offense came back, which was hysterical because on Sunday the Blue Jays were down 6 runs to the Angels. They came back to win. Monday, they're up 6 runs to the White Sox, and they end up losing. So, basically, the Blue Jays just have not had a good start from one of their rotation guys in a while. I guess since the last time Stroman was on the mound. So this is what aces do. They come out and they get shit done. But the White Sox, along with 3 other teams on today's slate, have the biggest IRT differential decrease going on right now. So they do have an implied total right now currently at 3.8. Again, they've just been striking out a ton here over the last couple days. And again, with Stroman needing to have a big start tonight for the Blue Jays, I really, really like him a lot. And let's not forget, too, Blue Jays favored by over 200 on the road today. So all of that's lining up very well for Stroman. Captain America.
Yeah, it's a little weird as far as that's concerned. I don't like the fact that bullpen is so bad.
Yeah. Well, let me give you something else. Stroman does have 2 complete games this season. And given what the bullpen has, not only how bad they've been, but how much they've been used over the last few games.
You think he has a longer leash?
I would think so, yeah. Again, man, the Blue Jays have been giving up a ton of runs here these last few games. So
I know, that's what had me kind of leaning towards.
But yeah, I really think Stroman comes out and just says, all right, enough with this shit. Let's go. Let's get down to business and just shuts him down completely.
I mean, I can see it. Let's just hope he doesn't get freaking squeezed like he did his last start.
Yes. I don't know what it was with the umpires in Toronto or in their last homestand. They just were like,
it's Angel Hernandez's crew, dude.
Bad. They're awful. Bad.
Angel Hernandez, they're not very good. They're very, very hitter friendly, and they have short fuses. John Gray was getting squeezed on Sunday night too. I mean, if you looked at the K zone, it was just it directly caused 2 of the runs. I mean, one of the home runs was on I think a 3-1 pitch when two of the pitches, to Adam Lind had been, strikes. He came back and it was 3-0, and all three of them were in the strike zone, and they were all called balls. So it was bad. It
All
was
right.
really
Well,
bad.
hopefully they're not in town for Stroman night tonight.
Let's look
But
and see if we can find it. Keep
okay.
going, and I'll look.
I was gonna say, everything that we mentioned there with Stroman is fantastic, but that alone with the fact that you can afford a lot of these Coors Field bats, a lot of these bats that are gonna be in Texas and some Yankees as well if you want in there. Stroman allows you the ability to get to all those guys. If you're rolling with Sale or Scherzer, I mean, hell, even if you're rolling with some of these guys at the 9K range on FanDuel, like Carlos Carrasco, Aaron Nola, guys that we're not even, we don't have a good feeling if they're gonna even get the win or not. I think that all that coupled with Stroman's low price, I think that makes him quite appealing to them.
Today's a Tuesday. It's the start of series, so we don't know.
Okay.
They don't. A lot of sites don't have. I know there's started yesterday, but a lot of sites don't
Right.
have the information out.
Okay.
Normally on like after the second game of series and stuff like that, they know the rotation and stuff like that. But so kind of watch out for that. That's
All right.
hopefully going to be the next thing that we put in. I do have an announcement towards the end of the show, so you're gonna have to keep listening.
Man, you said you had an announcement, then you didn't have an announcement,
It
then you
got
got the
fixed, so
announcement
now I
back.
got
All
it.
right, it's fixed. All right. All right. We're good. We're good. All right. Seeing a little bit of line movement here with the Rays. You mentioned that with the bats earlier, but any interest in Archer against the Astros at who are supposed to be bad at home, but did not give that to us last night. I shouldn't say bad at home, but not as potent at home.
Well, he better pitch well, otherwise Orbit's gonna freaking clown him. Did you see that?
No, but it just sounded funny.
He gave a declaration of unfriendliness to the Houston Astros and Orbits because their hijinks have been going back and forth and whatever. So,
Okay, a little too scientific for me.
yeah, it
Any
was.
interest there in Archer tonight?
I mean, no, because the K upside's really not there.
And
Houston's
he
only
does.
striking out 17% of the time. They have a 253 ISO, 408 wOBA versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days. Not really. I don't have a lot of interest in stacking against them either, or even playing a lot of guys against them. I think this is just a complete fade for me on the Astros side and Chris Archer. I think
Okay.
if there's interest in this game, it's going to be more leaning towards, like we talked about already, the Tampa Bay
Raise
Rays hit
bets.
bats.
I like it. I like it. Trying to go through some names here. I guess we could play the yay or nay game, but
Yep, let's play it.
John Lester actually has the highest K rate against well, let's see. How about this? Highest opposing K rate against handedness of pitcher today. Try to say that three
Twenty-eight
times
point
fast.
five one.
Indeed. Now, the thing here that got my feathers a little ruffled is the fact that JD Martinez now dons the Arizona Diamondbacks logo. So, does that matter much to you, or do you like Lester here
Is
against
this
the
game in
D-backs?
Arizona?
This game is in Chicago.
Is the wind blowing out?
I don't know.
It doesn't really matter to me. What do we say? Death taxes and JD Martinez versus lefties?
Indeed.
There you go. I'll probably have, depending on what I plan on doing today, I don't know yet, but I don't think I have interest in him on FanDuel. Not saying he's not a good play. It just I don't think he's gonna make the cut with what I think I'm gonna be doing. But I would not be surprised if there's got to be some history here, right?
Brief. It's not like a ton, but I think like Goldschmidt, a couple of those guys have
How
ten at
does JD
bats.
Martinez not have any at bats versus John Lester?
He doesn't have any? That's wild.
Oh wait, here we go.
Yeah,
He
0 for
is 0
3.
for 3.
Yeah,
So.
like again, there's not a ton. I mean, AJ Pollock 3 for 9.
Well, I was figuring, with JD Martinez being the NL or the AL Central and John Lester used to pitch for the Red Sox and
Right.
the A's, that there would have been a little bit more history there. But I
Yeah.
guess their times did not overlap quite as much as I thought they did.
All right. Fair enough.
Here's the other question is you've got guys like Paul Goldschmidt and AJ Pollock.
Probably go Chris Iannetta tonight.
Chris Iannetta that all hit lefties kind of well. I'm not saying in like your main team, but if you're multi-entering like a $3 or $4 tournament, this could be a very, very interesting stack to kind of take a look at.
Sure.
I'm not quite sure exactly how much. I can tell you it's not going to be highly owned at all. And depending on which way the wind shifts, because right now, what's that total at? 8.5?
Wow,
it's 8.5. So that's actually, you know, what we can considering what is quote unquote normal on slates nowadays. That's actually kind of low. It's below average. This is second lowest total on the slate, combined with the Tampa Bay game, the St. Louis game, or I guess the Phillies and Angels game is at an 8.
Whoa.
So there's a lot of 8s and 7.5s today.
Yeah.
And 8.5s. 8 and 8.5s.
Dave. So, all right. Let's continue on with yay, nay. Carlos Martinez up against the Brewers.
Yay.
Nay?
Yay.
He's been a little funky recently, but you think he gets it back on track tonight, eh?
Well, he's a tournament play. But if I remember correctly, he absolutely loves pitching against this Brewers team. Like, I don't know why.
Put it on the board.
Yeah, exactly. But I think he has a very, very, very good overall ERA versus the
Brewers.
So
yeah, 1-1 this season with the 3.65, 11 strikeouts in 12 innings. But I think what you're referring to is
career numbers
from the last 3 years. All right, so here we go. From 2014 and 2016. 4-1 with the 1.53 ERA, 61 strikeouts and 53 innings.
And wasn't with Carlos Martinez, I think this was one of the first games of the season in April that they faced off and he got lit up, and then came back and dominated the second game. I'm going back to look at this.
All right.
I
was going to say, one of the things to add to your point, I mean, the Brewers are striking out ridiculous amount, like just under what the Rays have been doing recently. So, I like that. I mean, hell, Gerrit Cole had 10 strikeouts against them too long ago.
So, yeah, that's kind of how it happened. There was a start versus Toronto that was split between these guys, or between these two starts. But on April 20th, he threw 5 innings, allowed 7 hits, 2 home runs, 5 earned runs, and had 7 Ks for 21 FanDuel points. Came back 2 starts later, pitched into the 8th, only allowed 4 hits, only had 4 Ks, but didn't allow any earned runs.
Yeah, I remember that one pretty well. I had him that day.
Yeah,
it's a little upset about the lack of strikeouts, but he did pitch well. I'll take that any night. Okay, how about Shomania tonight against the Giants at home? Or Shomania at home against the Giants?
I'm going to have to look in the heat maps. I want to say yes. But
just say yes. Who cares?
Well, remember the conversation we had yesterday with Paul Blackburn?
Right.
I went there, and he did not – it was not profitable.
I heard. Manaya's last start at home, which I did have him that day, helped me win a ton of money, against the Indians. Actually had 8 strikeouts that day, got the win, quality start, good for 49 points. His previous starts before that at home – 38 FanDuel points, 37 FanDuel points, and a 24, and then a 43. So he has been pretty good at O.co. Don't mind that there. I don't mind this matchup in San Diego tonight, where we have Jose Barrios and then going up against Julio Chacin. Now, I'm a big fan of the Barrios team over there. But Julio Chacin at home, we know, has been really good. However, his last two starts at Petco Park haven't been like as mesmerizing as the past. But he does take on this Twins team, which will be without their DH tonight. That's a plus for Chacin. Either side of this one, you're leaning particularly because Vegas has it split right down the middle. But it does have an over-under of 8.
Yeah, I mean, what's made Chacin, his starts not as, you know, great at home is the fact that his price has gone all the way up to almost 8K. You know, he started out, you know, low fives, mid sixes. If he was down around the 7 range, you'd feel a lot more comfortable going there. But, I mean, he's going to give you, let's see, and he goes into the 5th inning, so he more than likely is going to at least give you a chance to qualify for the win. More times than not, he's going to pitch at least 6. He's not going to get absolutely just blown up, and he's going to give you around 5 to 6 start or innings pitched. Right. Or Ks, sorry. I mean, he's had 1, 2, 3. He's had 3 starts where it's paid to stack against him. Yeah. The Dodgers, yeah, the Mets in city. And the Diamondbacks in Arizona. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you were going to put like a label on Chacin, I'd say he's above average, but, you know, not too far above average. But again, like you take a look at his totals, you're getting, you know, low, high 30s. I guess, you know, 40s, you know, would probably be like a great day from Chacin, but, you know, somewhere in the 30s. And, you know, for 7,600 tonight, that's not terrible going up against this Twins team. Yeah, again, on a lineup where you're trying to fit, you know, the elite bat to the elite bats, I would say that this is probably your guy.
Yeah, I would have a lot more. I don't know if I can play him on DraftKings just because Jose Barrios is only $400 more at 40 or at 7,700. I would probably, he's a multi-entry guy for me, I guess. And he would probably be the lowest I would go, on DraftKings. Yeah, he would probably be the lowest I would go on DraftKings. FanDuel is just very, very, very hard to, FanDuel would be very, very hard to actually, like, go down that low.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Kenta Maeda, Sean Manaea, Stroman that are all above them, and there's not really a lot that's worth diving that deep for. Because he's not really, you're not getting a big discount. Just, I mean, $600 or $700 more, you can go up to Sean Manaea. Yeah, I don't know if I can go down there that deep.
All right, we've made it this far into the show without mentioning that it's Nola night. But I gotta say, I'm not as confident in my boy tonight. Angels opened as -121 favorites in Vegas, and you know, it's moved slightly in their favor. But again, the fact that, you know, how well Nola's been pitching, you know, it certainly gives me cause for concern, and especially the fact that Ricky Nolasco is on the mound, who I also want to ask you about. But you take a look at this Phillies offense; they have been really, really good here. Over the last, I want to say, we'll call it 14 days, but since July 18th, they're actually 9-3, which I didn't think I would see at any point from my Phillies. But again, this is going to be their first game of a West Coast trip. We have seen Nolasco have some really good starts at home this season. You know, not just at home, but he's had some pretty good starts. He's also had some really bad ones as well. But the fact that Nola isn't favored in this matchup really draws some concern for me. So, you know, we also saw the Angels bats rocking and rolling in Toronto all weekend. Wonder if that has something to do with it, but definitely not as high on my boy today, just given the fact that what Vegas is laying out there.
We talked about it before. I have some interest in the Phillies. I mean, Nola hasn't looked great and overpowering lately.
Yes, he has.
Okay, sorry. I missed.
You got what, the last 2 months?
No, his last two starts have been on the weekends, okay? I didn't look at that.
No, his last one was last Wednesday against the Astros.
Was it during the day?
No, at night.
Well, that would be why.
Now, Nola, I mean, look, he's been absolutely lights out. The one thing I will say, his price has certainly jumped up all the way to 9,400. You're not going to get any free strikeouts again going up against the DH instead of the pitcher today. No Danny Espinosa. You know, typically we can count that as a pitcher hitter because he strikes out so much. He's with the Mariners now. But you take a look at Nola. I mean, he's had at least 6 strikeouts in every game since June. Here's his strikeout totals recently. 10, 9, 7, 9, 8, 9, 8. I mean, these are against pretty good teams, too. Granted, it did face the Brewers twice in that span, but Houston, San Diego, who hasn't been striking out that much, Pittsburgh, Seattle, I mean, St. Louis even. These are all good starts. I'm going to say, though, the one thing that comes down to tonight, I want to see how many lefties the Angels have. Typically, a lot of lefties can give him trouble, but again, I don't even think that it's really mattering that much. It's just, again, if I'm paying all the way up, I want to make sure Nola's going to get that win. And Vegas is saying that that's not such a definite tonight.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I kind of skimmed over this game because I saw Ricky Nolasco on the mound. And, I mean, Nola's 9.4K on FanDuel. I don't mind it. But it's very, very difficult to fit him in with a core stack,
mm-hmm.
depending on who you go with. I think we talked about this a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go with Nola and say Lucroy, Nolan, Charlie, and Tapia, you're left with 2,300. So unless some value Yikes. Opens up, I'm probably not going to go there.
Oh, I got some later.
It has to open up though. How many times has it? You know, if you go down to Carlos Martinez, you're left with 2,400, which is a little bit better to manage.
Yeah.
But you can go down to Sean Manaea or Marcus Stroman, and you're left with 2,600. So
I think I'm like already. I don't even care if the White Sox bring Frank Thomas back into the picture. I'm pretty set on going with Stroman against these White Sox today. So, all right, that's gonna do it for the Yay or Nay pitching game. I don't really have. There aren't too many other options today. So. We'll end it there, but let's just break it down quickly with some of the bats today, position by position. So, what is going on at catcher today?
James McCann
is facing a lefty.
And what's funny is Hector Sanchez, if he's in that lineup, actually pops off the page.
Really, I love me some Hector Sanchez.
Yeah, Francisco Cervelli. It might be a punt catcher night, and then. I know he hasn't done anything, but change of scenery sometimes does help a guy. You know, Jonathan Lucroy is in Coors. So, I mean, he might be worth it.
You guys let me know how that goes tonight.
if you're stacking Coors, he's going to be the cheapest option to stack it with.
Wow. Again, y'all let me know how that goes. I got some good ones, all right? So I do like both catchers from the Blue Jays tonight. Miguel Montero, 7-for-16, 4 extra base hits against Pelfrey in his career. That would certainly be a nice way to go. But, you know, James McCann, who you mentioned, ridiculous numbers against left-handed pitching. Tough to break off of that. But I like two righties tonight, more so than anybody else. So Gary Sanchez swinging the bat a little better lately. He's facing Annabelle Sanchez, who's been quite generous to right-handers. So I don't mind that. Yankees profile to do pretty well against him tonight. And then the Mariners, who apparently are going to have the best night in the majors tonight. Mike Zunino behind the plate would be a great option. 953 OPS since the All-Star break. Much bigger discount on FanDuel at 2,600 as compared to the 4,200 it'll run you on DK. So I do like Mr. Zunino. And hey, if DK's pricing algorithm gives us that, then I'm in.
Yeah. Also, you can look at Yasmani Grandal. He's going to be hitting from the left side of the plate. 2,900, yes. 313 ISO, 552 WOBA over the last 30 days. So yeah, there's catcher's a little bit more loaded than it used to be, or than it usually is. So you've got some options.
I can't believe he's 2,900.
Yeah, he's below 3,000. So I'm sorry if you're Gary Sanchez. It's very, very hard for me to get up to you. He has good numbers. He's popping off the page. I'm not saying that. If you want to go to him, granted, you're more than welcome to. 360 ISO, 422 WOBA versus right-handed pitchers over the last 30 days. He is in a good matchup, good ballpark. We know Gary Sanchez. However, if you want to, it is tough. I mean, you could literally go down to Hector Sanchez versus Jose Berrios and take a shot in a tournament at 2,200. He hits a double and gets an RBI. He's done everything he needs to do, and he has the ability to do so much more. James McCann is 2,600 going against CC Sabathia in that same game as, Gary Sanchez. I mean,
hey, it's the pay up to be contrarian sort of thing.
It is. It is. And I'm not saying it's not a bad play. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if you're looking to save money at that position, you don't have to go there.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. Yeah, I mean, you look at, what the pitching is today. You look at Coors Field today. Those are all in play. So, I know you don't, on a 15-game slate, you try not to worry about ownership percentage as much as usual. But I doubt he even makes it up to 10 tonight, given all those other factors.
Yeah, I'm not worried about ownership.
All right, first baseman, what are you looking at there? The Toronto twosome?
Mainly just the Toronto onesome.
Trademark AW.
Yeah.
Toronto onesome.
the single man. Justin Smoak. Oh, he's nice. The top-rated first baseman on the day. You can go to...
Hey, by the way, I just want to say, don't hate on Kendrys Morales because he did put
I'm
up...
Not.
He did put up, 9.5 last night on FanDuel, but he hit a ball that literally put the second center fielder since the first one ran into the wall at 200 miles an hour on Donaldson's homer last night. But the center fielder literally had his back against the wall when he caught Morales. I believe it was his first or maybe second at bat, but right back, literally had the numbers on the wall, so... Very close. If it wasn't to dead center field, that maybe was put it on the board material.
Yeah, yeah. It's I'm not discrediting Kendrys Morales, but every number that Morales has, Smoak is infinitely better over
sure.
the last 30 days.
It's also infinitely more expensive.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not opposed to going back to Eric Hosmer.
Yes. Hitting 500 over the last six games. 9 RBIs, 8 runs as well.
Yeah. Joey Gallo is an option.
Gallo.
Talked about Miguel Cabrera a little bit ago. Danny Valencia.
Yeah.
Seattle versus Nick Martinez. And then your boy, Tommy Joseph.
Tommy.
Mark Reynolds, actually. Over the last 30 days versus left-handed pitching. Here you go. We talked about We talked about how Mark Reynolds has not been good versus left-handed pitching this season, but over the last 30 days, these numbers kind of contradict it. 424 wOBA, 294 ISO over the last 30 days.
Hey, Mark!
So there have been some stories that have talked about Buddy Bell, or Buddy Bell, oh my gosh, Bud Black throwing to him.
Like a father? In the yard, playing catch?
Well, Bud Black's a lefty. So he's been throwing batting practice to Charlie all year. And now he's added Mark Reynolds to the mix.
Bud, so. You old southpaw son of a bitch, you. I didn't even know you had it in you. Yeah. I like Cody Bellinger, major park upgrade at Sunshine. I know the numbers don't say it, but again, he's going up against that minor leaguer who allowed 19 homers in AAA. So what a coincidence. Bellinger
he has
in the
cooled
home
off versus right-handed pitching. He's been hitting lefties a lot better than he has righties over the last month. 276. I'm just saying, if you want a reason to fade him, this would be a reason why, because I think his ownership is going to be one of the higher ones of the day.
Interesting.
276 wOBA, 158 ISO over the last 30 days.
My sneaker play, not my, shoe play of the day, but my sneaky play of the day, Chase Headley, been rocking and rolling lately, 9 of 23, 5 RBIs, 5 runs over the last 7 games. He's a little more expensive than you want to pay for a guy that doesn't really have huge home run upside, but, I mean, if the Yankees are doing well tonight, this guy's going to have RBI opportunities every single time he steps up to the plate, so that's a way that you can kind of alleviate some of that, or not even that, but it kind of just explains some of the money that you're paying for him. So I don't mind that. 3,300 is what he is on FanDuel. I know it's kind of no man's land, but typically you want more power out of your first baseman. But again, Yankee Stadium, a lot of RBI opportunities, a lot of that could be made up for. I like him a lot tonight.
I'd rather go to Mike Napoli.
Okay.
Just better numbers and cheaper.
Okay.
Or Danny Valencia.
You mentioned him. You can't mention him twice.
I'm just saying, like, if we're talking about price point, those are the two I'd rather go to. I mean, Headley is just kind of in a weird spot for being a first baseman. So
he's hitting well, though. Just a couple BVP numbers that I want to throw out there. Matt Carpenter, 10 for 21, 2 homers against Jimmy Nelson. Edwin Encarnacion, 5 for 13 with the homer against Chris Sale. Logan Morrison, 6 for 12 with the homer against Mike Fiers.
Yep.
All right, second baseman. He's been struggling lately, but Robinson Cano, way too cheap on both DraftKings and FanDuel tonight with a phenomenal matchup in Texas. I'm pretty sure it'll be the chalk. But tonight could be the night that he finally breaks out of that funk and really, really puts a hurting on him if you don't have him tonight. I think tonight's that night for Robbie. The Mariners
cold.
Are projected to do so well. I mean, come on, Robbie.
Well, yeah, but they were projected to do well yesterday.
I don't know how well. Here's the thing. Again, Nelly Cruz just had a really bad, period of inactivity as well. So, we'll hope that it trickles down the order or up the order. All right, Cruz got over his funk. Now it's time for Cano to do something, And Cano's been he's been putting up some points. It's not the worst, but again, I think tonight's the night.
Okay, I'm probably not going there, but I can see.
Oh, you
want
to go to Jonathan Lucroy, but not Robinson Cano. Okay.
Catcher is a lot different than second base.
Not really.
Really?
both aren't
for
$300 traditional
more, I can
power.
Go get Ian Kinsler versus CC Sabathia.
Okay.
For the same price on DraftKings, I can do that.
Okay. Well, all right, second base, I think you're going to get some kind of points at Robinson Cano. Again, you take a look at his numbers here. All right, now these are FanDuel points. 10, 15.7, 0, 3.5, 9, 0.
again, that's a guy that's struggling really bad. He's still putting up some points.
I can go get Javier Baez versus Patrick Corbin.
You can.
For $500 cheaper on FanDuel.
Okay. By the way, Patrick Corbin, been pretty good lately.
I know, but he's also in Chicago.
Okay. I mean, you know, he calls Arizona home. Not exactly the greatest pitching park.
I never said it was.
All right. We're going to disagree on this one. That's fair enough. What else you like
I
here?
I just said I wasn't going there, and then you started attacking me with Jonathan Lucroy. And I'm giving you examples.
I will attack on Jonathan Lucroy.
I'm giving you examples. I said, what did I say with Jonathan Lucroy? As part of a Rockies stack, he is the cheapest that you're going to be able to get.
I will hate him. I will continue to
until
hate
he double dongs later.
I'll still hate him for double donging.
What? Yeah, no
kidding. It's a no win for you with me, Lucroy. No win.
Yeah, and you know you just can't listen. I mean, I can get Rodon Odor versus Erasmo Ramirez for $100 more.
He's been on fire. Rugi wants some more horses.
So
gets that reference when I say it. Remember, he got horses at the beginning of the season.
Oh, I know, because of his contract. So there are some good second base plays today.
I'm glad you mentioned Odor because he has been very, very, very scorching over these last couple days.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind going back to Whit Merrifield. I know the Royals kind of sucked yesterday, but, you know, it is Dylan Bundy.
Did you know Whit Merrifield tied for second most hits since the All-Star break?
Yes, I did. Nice. I did know that because I've been trying to figure out why in the heck he's been having such good success, and it's actually because he's cut down his swinging strikes and his he's actually swinging at more strikes and not missing the bat, which is, surprise, surprise, a way to have success in the big leagues. DJ's been on fire. Not only with the average, but with the power as well. 250 ISO versus left-handed pitching over the last 30 days.
Those numbers against lefties on the season are video game like.
Yeah, he crushed. It's
not fair. Not fair.
So it's a lot of fun. So what are we thinking of? Because this guy's interesting. Because I don't think anybody's gonna play him.
Okay. Is what he Asian?
No, he's not. Okay. I'm not talking about Colton Wong.
Okay.
Brian Dozier and that sexy, sexy man hair.
Well, I know Chassin's much worse against lefties, so probably not
I
my
know,
favorite.
But in that park, right down the right field line or left field line to the Western Metal Supply Company building.
That's his zone.
And we know how much Brian Dozier likes to lift and separate.
Yeah, I do like Cano and Odor better, but, you know, I'm crazy like you, so I could see it.
Does he have the potential to be the Twins' offense tonight?
Oof.
Because I'm not playing Cano because he's banged up still. I don't think his wrist is healthy.
I'm going to say no, not the potential to be the Twins offense. I mean, again, Vegas has dubbed this game with an 8, so I don't think we're going to see a ton. You know, like, I doubt we'll see a double dong in that game. But if I had to pick, I don't think it would be him.
Okay. I'm...
I like where your head's at, though. I like it. I like it. I might try it on the late slate. Who knows? Going to be a fun late slate tonight, I tell you.
But yeah, I like DJ. I like Kinsler, Merrifield. I'm off of Daniel Murphy right now. He just shows no pop.
He is, by the way, the best hitter in the majors on Tuesdays, which is our fun little stat recently. If it didn't work on the first day, I would have Saturday. For all of you that don't know what I'm talking about, as a joke, I went and looked at who's been doing the best on Saturdays, and lo and behold, it was Ryan Healy. He had a good night. So then I checked on Sundays, and it's basically the all-star roster from each team. Monday, yesterday, was Alex Bregman. He had a sick game last night. So
What are you gonna? So on Tuesdays, the best hitter in the league.
Can you find their stats on Tuesdays?
Yeah, I got them.
Okay, what is Daniel Murphy's WOBA and ISO on Tuesdays?
See, I don't have the advanced ones, but I have like your basic averages.
How many home runs does he hit on Tuesdays?
4, but he does have 24 RBIs, 11 extra base hits. The OPS is at 1.310. And he's hitting .455, on base percentage is at .492. He's slugging .818. But, I mean, I know he doesn't have an issue against lefties today, but he does have the lefty-lefty matchup today. So it might not be the best time to engage on it. You know who the second best hitter on Tuesdays is? Also a second baseman.
D. Gordon?
Jose Altuve. But he doesn't have quite the power. Like, he's just getting a bunch of hits, but still. It's interesting to note, nonetheless. Not a bad idea for GPPs, folks. All right. Third base.
I mean,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, let's not talk about him. Let's keep going. Kyle Seager is in a great spot. I mean, come on. It's Nolan.
I know.
Nolan, dude.
Now, we were talking about numbers against lefties. This is amazing. So he actually leads the league in all of these categories against lefties. Batting average, slugging percentage, OPS, home runs, and RBIs.
He's got a DFSA grade of 163.65.
That's high.
Yes.
It is far.
It is gone. The only guy – now, this is something that I didn't expect to see. Justin Turner actually grades out higher.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
And it's – a lot of it's because of the ISO numbers. Nolan only has a 450 – only a 450 ISO versus left-handed pitching.
Bad.
Well, Mr. Justin Turner has a 533 ISO. And granted, guys, these are over the last 30 days, so – keep that in mind.
Now, I do want to ask you a serious question. Now, I know, even myself, it's going to be very hard to get off Nolan Arenado tonight, but Kyle Seager, 7-for-11 with 3 extra base hits, including a homer career against Nick Martinez.
Why do you think he was the second one I said?
Oh, yeah. Now, it's a significant price difference between the two today. Do you think... I mean, obviously, we've talked about the numbers that Nolan Arenado has, but again, the Mariners are going to be in a good spot today. I mean, you save $1,600 by going from or going Seager over Arenado. I think it's a pretty serious discussion, but again, I think Arenado is more that safer play, of course, but saving $1,600 is mighty appealing.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get Nolan at under 15% today, so
yeah.
I mean, we know how people are, we know how people have treated Coors Field this year, so.
Alright, just saying, $1,600, you know what you can do with $1,600?
Hell, you don't even need to go down to Kyle Seager. I mean, can. But you don't have to. You could just go to freaking Justin Turner for 36, and you're going to save $1,200.
Speaking of players performing on Tuesdays, Travis Shaw wowing out on Tuesdays. Actually leads the league in RBIs on Tuesdays. 6 homers. Doesn't lead the league. That goes to Joey Gallo, but he's not really a third baseman. Oh, my eye is killing me. Okay, let's talk about real numbers here. Anthony Rendon, pretty damn good against lefties. Take all those numbers that we said about Nolan Arenado and minus them all by like 50, and you get Nolan Arenado's numbers. Yeah?
You mean Anthony Rendon's numbers?
What did I say?
Nolan Arenado.
Okay. I thought I might have said Nolan Rendon, but that'd be crazy.
You did it first, and then you said, take all those Nolan numbers and minus them by 50, and you have Nolan's. So I'm
all
like,
right.
Wait a second.
All right, Anthony Rendon.
The difference is
Arenado light.
The difference is Rendon doesn't seem to be showing the power right now. He's still getting the job done, don't get me wrong, but he's not showing the power that Nolan is.
I like righty hitters a lot more than I like lefty hitters at Marlins Park. It's just, you know, we've discussed this numerous times, but, you know, left field, a lot easier to get the ball up and out of there.
Yeah, for me, it's one of those three. Justin, Turner, Seager. I mean, I guess you can make a case for Todd Frazier going against Anibal Sanchez. 400 ISO over the last 30 days versus right-handed pitching. Travis Shaw, like you said, but that's not really a matchup I'd want to pick on with Carlos Martinez. Although everybody said that the other day with Travis Shaw versus who was that? I forgot who he faced. He ended up homering off of him and then was walked the other three times at the plate that day. So he was 1-for-1 with a home run and one RBI and three walks.
Yeah.
I forgot who that was against, but everybody said that he was a bad play that day. Oh, it was Chris Sale.
Ah. Okay.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's yeah. He was no, it wasn't. It was Max Scherzer.
Mm. Who was this? I wasn't
Travis Shaw.
Travis Shaw.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I got yes. Okay. The afternoon game, correct.
Yep.
How do you feel about going back to Mike Moustakas today?
I don't mind it, I guess.
I mean, you know, he's only
36.
Amazing.
Yeah, I don't mind it, but if I'm going to pay 36, it's really hard for me not to get away for Justin Turner. You know, if I'm going to stack the Rockies and fade Nolan, which is a very scary thing to do, but one that, you know, pays off about five times a year, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it with guys that have the ability to. Great. I'm going to have to look into Moustakas' heat map now, aren't I?
I guess so. While you're waiting, we talked about Nick Castellanos, pretty good option against lefties this season.
Yes, he's the fourth one.
Okay. I want to throw out two. Evan Longoria, he is 3-of-8 with 2 homers against Mike Fiers over his career. And then you want to get really cheap and really crazy. Luis Valbuena, 6-for-16, 4 extra base hits, 2 homers, 6 RBIs over his last 5. I mention it all the time. Lefties are the way to go against Aaron Nola. Boom, shakalaka.
Yep.
Okay, shortstops. I only like one guy today. It's Trevor Story. Really good numbers against left-handed pitching. He's not hitting over 300, just barely misses that, coming in at 289 against him this season. But the 985 OPS more than makes up for it. And, again, Story didn't have the greatest start to the season. Nobody made fun of him more than I did, but he is coming on, and I love this matchup for him against Mats today. Actually, Story's slump ended with a performance against Steven Mats.
Yeah, because it ended with the All-Star break. there's a couple others that you can make really, really, really good cases for. Jose Reyes coming back as the revenge-type narrative, although we're the ones paying his damn salary. Versus Jeff Hoffman, Paul DeJong. I know Jimmy Nelson has been really, really good, but Paul DeJong has been every bit as impressive as Trevor Story was at the beginning of last year, and Aaron Judge was at the beginning of this year as well. So,
yeah, and righties have been hitting Jimmy Nelson better this season.
Yep. Obviously, you can make a case for Corey Seager, 366 ISO versus righties over the last 30 days. Good ballpark for lefties. Yep. I think he'll be a little chalky, though. Wilmer Defoe.
Wilmer!
Is pretty high up there on the grades as well.
Addison Russell, only 2,500 on FanDuel.
No, thank you.
Going up against a lefty. Not a bad.
You.
All right, fair enough. you know, let's see here. Frankie Lindor actually leading the league in hits against left-handed pitching this season. And he is 8 for 16, two extra base hits, one of those a homer off of Chris Sale.
There you go.
Indeed. Somebody, we were having a discussion. I forget who it was with, but I think Loosemeister, we were having a discussion about what side Lindor is better from. And I'm glad I did not have that league-leading hits against left-handed pitching stat on me at the time. But we broke it down. I was right, as usual.
Yeah. You're not modest, are you?
No, no, no. Actually, in my older age, I've learned to be. But I think I've told the story numerous times about how I celebrated way too much when I scored in hockey when I was younger and, you know, looked like an idiot. Anywho, outfielders today. Let's close this off strong.
Oh, there's a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, let's not talk about Coors Field.
Okay.
On this one, just because they're I think they're all in play.
Sure.
Andrew McCutchen.
Okay.
Over the last 30 days versus right-handed pitching.
Well, I was going to say fresh off his triple-dong day.
Yeah, which is probably why one of the reasons why this is inflated. But over the last 30 days, do you want to know what his ISO is?
It's going to be something ridiculous. I'm going to say 642. Higher?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, think about this. Derek Fisher, over the last, since he's come up, mm-hmm. has a ISO versus right-handed pitching of 667.
Okay.
McCutchen's is higher.
Jesus.
727 over the last 30 days.
That was going to be my second guess. That's actually the area code in St. Petersburg, Florida.
There you go. So he's obviously at the upper echelon of that.
I like that, the upper echelon
of the outfield tier tonight. Justin Upton against CC,
yeah.
Obviously. You know, in Yankee Stadium, I like guys that can go the opposite way and pull the ball with power. Upton can do both.
Hey, BJ got the shit end of that birth thing, huh?
I would say so. but you know,
had that birth thing. Yeah,
he did debut on, you know, at 19 years old in the major leagues.
Yep. For some reason, I thought Upton had good BVP against CC. Not the case.
Yeah, but he hasn't faced him that much, has he?
What's up?
He hasn't faced him that much.
No, five times. I know, but I thought it was something remarkable.
Yeah, Jock Peterson.
Jock.
You can go with Dodgers outfielders. I know that Yasiel Puig's DFS A grade is like a negative 33.
Oh, my.
But,
I saw somebody say that.
A lot of it has to do with the fact that he hasn't done anything versus right-handed pitching lately. But I still like him. I would still be willing to take a shot there.
Yeah, I actually said I thought the number was going to be a little lower because, you know, we had the minor league pitcher in there. We really don't have, you know, the most accurate stats for him. So I think that could have something to do with it as well.
Yeah, that I think that could have a lot to do with it as well. Okay. Manny Margot, 429 ISO. A lot of that has to do with the double dong that he hit. What was it? It was against, I don't know, it was about a week ago. I don't know. There's a lot of Brewers outfielders popping off the page, and it really kind of scares me. Chris Taylor versus Lucas Sims. Jay Bruce versus, well, that was Steven Souza has been crushing the ball lately.
Did he get hurt or just taken out last night?
I don't know. I have not looked.
Because I fell asleep at like, I don't know, like really early last night and woke up like before the Oakland game ended. And I had Souza last night and I saw he had that nasty orange DTD tag next to his name. So
possibly. Christian Yelich has kind of owned Max Scherzer.
Yeah, I saw that. Shocking. My favorite outfielder is going to probably come as a major shock to a lot of people. And if it doesn't work, then he's only 2,200 on FanDuel today. But I'm talking about
Leonis Martin, who now, if you remember, he got demoted down at AAA earlier this season for hitting, like, you know, below 200. But he did very well in his time down in AAA, hit very well. And then he's come back these first two games off the D or since getting recalled. And I got to see these games too, because I believe that first game back was, well, I know it was against the Mets, but he homered that day. Swings were looking really good. He ended up tripling last night against Cole Hamels, but two double digit point totals since coming back. That coupled along with the fact that he was hitting well in AAA. That also coupled with the fact that the Mariners slated to do very well tonight. I think this is fantastic, fantastic way to get lower ownership to some of those Mariners tonight. I'm sorry, not lower ownership, but a cheap piece of this Mariners puzzle tonight. I really like that one. Like, that might be my favorite play of the day.
Okay.
Yeah. So suck on it. Brandon Moss. He's another cheap one. Really hasn't popped off on the current road trip. Still 2,500 on FanDuel. He's due.
Yeah. He kind of is.
And I mentioned Corey Dickerson yesterday. I'm going to mention it again. He's also 3-for-8 with two doubles and a homer against Fires. I mentioned the fact that both of his homers going oppo field last night is just a great indicator of where his swing is going, or his swing is heading places, people. Said this earlier about Brian Dozier in the year. He started hitting balls oppo field, and not too long afterwards, he went on a pretty nice tear. So big fan of the Dick Dong tonight. I'm not calling Dick Dong, but I'm a big fan of his.
Okay.
I might as well just call Dick Dong if I'm a big fan. That makes no sense not to. Dick Dong.
Say, you're,
boom. Boom.
There you go.
Smoking a pancake.
Yeah, I don't mind a lot of that. So.
All right, cool. And I'm also on board with you with the Jack Peterson, Yasiel Puig. I like both of those guys too.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, and I mentioned, I was going to say about the Yankees outfield. Brett Gardner, as I mentioned, 12-game hitting streak, four homers over that span. You got Aaron Judge, who's homered two of the last four games. I'm a little, you know, the guy's going to strike out, no doubt about it. But again, we saw it last night. All you got to do is make decent contact in Yankee Stadium. A guy like that, that shit can go out. And then Clint Frazier, been getting on base, doing a pretty good job here for the Yankees. And again, if you get Jacoby Ellsbury in this lineup, I don't mind him either. He pinch ran over the weekend, one of those games, got on, stole a base, got on last night and stole a base. You know, a night that was looking like a zero turned into a 12.2 real quick. Cause, a couple of those Yankees, I'd be interested in this tonight too. A lot of the Yankees were throwing up and in on the Tigers last night, not intentionally, just, you know, their control was a little off. Mikey Matuk actually took one right in the dome last night. Got pretty fired up, and then Jacoby Ellsbury ended up being the guy that got hit in retaliation. He gets on, steals second, comes around on a single, and turns a zero into 12.2. So, again, if he gets on base, I like him to maybe swipe a couple bags.
Nothing as good as me forgetting that Rajay Davis wasn't in the starting lineup, him coming up and pinch hitting in the seventh and hitting a double, and then coming home on Marcus Semien's grand slam.
Nice. Semien I had, by the way, last night. Great production.
Yeah, I had no idea because my son demanded my attention about 20 minutes before lock. So it didn't quite work as well as I thought it was going to.
Indeed. All right, good strong finish today to the show. A lot of material for everybody to get to. Wow, we went long as hell, but at least you guys have something to listen to before lock today. As we mentioned yesterday, SiriusXM basically like doing away with all their MLB programs. So we are your one-stop shop. You're welcome. If you want to join us or at least just see what's going on for free, you got two options to check us out and get it for free. Promo code WIN, W-I-N, gets you 7 free days to check us out. Afterwards, you want to use the promo code podcast to get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. Both very cheap ways to see what we got going on here behind the DFS Army barrack walls. And just have fun with it. And we'll see you guys, I guess, what, Friday? Off on the pod for the next 2 days. So
yes.
Yes. All right, cool. Sounds good. All right, me, Keith, rest of the DFS Army, we go.
Peace out.